Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Berenzi. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between, including Joe Lisi, who already checked in with us, and Ian Cameron. Babano, who is not. Babano is going to step up and in a kick with us. We're going to talk more football with Babano. We've talked a lot of college football. And listen, we've talked NFL as well, as the New York Jets have sabotaged their chances of getting a generational quarterback, and Trevor Lawrence now mathematically, statistically, have a 31% chance, gangrene. 31% chance. If the Jets lose out and the Jaguars lose out, the Jaguars get the number one pick. And I'd like to know, I wish I could, like, right, you know, we could read Trevor Lawrence's mind. I'd like to know whether he's happy right now. He could be. He could be very happy. If you look, listen, man, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they've got some skill position players. The Robinson kid is lighting it up. DJ Chark is a stud. Like, they, you know, if you look at the Jags this year, they've actually moved the football. You know, they're completely rebuilt on defense. Remember, the Jags hung their hat on defense when they went to the AFC Conference Championship game and Blake Bortles as their quarterback. But they had a stacked defense, right? And everybody's gone from that defense. So they're retooling on defense. Their offense doesn't really suck. You know, so you throw Trevor Lawrence in there and their offense is going to be pretty much instantly better. Put it this way. Like, Trevor Lawrence is an upgrade to any quarterback they have right now. Is he better than is he better than Mike Glennon? Yes. Is he better than Jake Luton? Yes. Is he better than Gardner Minshew? Yes. So in other words, he's an upgrade. Okay. Whether he's like the all-time greatest quarterback of all time ever, he's an upgrade. But only somehow the New York Jets, who really, like, New York Jet fans, I sympathize for them. I do. But as a Buffalo Bill fan, we dodged a bullet. I mean, I think Trevor Lawrence probably is the real deal. I don't know if this guy's going to win 3 Super Bowls. It's pretty crazy. Number one overall picks is quarterbacks. There's not a lot of, like, Super Bowl champs and great stories and stuff. There's a few, but nevertheless, if you're the New York Jets, like, basically, and Justin Fields isn't all that, man. And Zach Wilson's good, but what's the use of throwing Sam Darnold on the bus for Zach Wilson? So it looks like the Jets' status quo remains. As far as the Rams are concerned, well, whatever. The Rams play up and down to the level of competition all the time. Bad loss for the Rams. Now they're in a big-ass game against Seattle. We'll check in with the NFL numbers and the playoff picture. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
There's only ever been one thing in your life that's been there for you. It's meant memories, family, friends.
And yeah, we'll say it.
Fun. Welcome to your home for talking sports. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Rageaholic. I just can't live without Rageahol.
Late Night Anger Management Class, I am Renzi. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates and everybody tuning in the late night hours. We appreciate it. The Insomniacs, the Degenerate Gamblers, the Hardcore Rageaholics. Great stuff. We appreciate the support. And don't forget, we are launching on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. We will still be heard on these same radio stations that you're tuning in right now. There'll be no difference to anything besides we're adding. We're just adding. So if you're like, oh, no, we're not leaving anywhere. We're just adding. The empire grows. The platform grows. And, of course, we were on Sirius XM for many years in the past. We've had a couple of stints over there. So it's, you know, we're turning back to our roots. And sport, the evolution of the Rageolution continues, as we say. All right. So we've got NFL football. We've talked about, you know, what happened, whatever, and live in the past. Who cares what happened today? But the Browns get it done this evening. Giants, we'll just blast through it. The Giants, I don't know why the Giants, like, were screwing around early. I don't know. The Giants went for a fake field goal early. Just take the damn points, man. And then they went for it another time on 4th-and-2, and they could have kicked a field goal. And they have a decent kicker as well. And it changed the complexion of the game. Like, they could have been down, like, 13-9. It would have been different. You know what I mean? But they kept going for it. And it's like, why? Your offense sucks. Like, why are you doing this? Like, you have a good defense. Cleveland's not running away with anything. Just keep on kicking the threes, man. You know what, though? We got lucky with the late field goal because we had the Giants on a sweetheart teaser as well. We did pretty well today, actually. I think it was like 21-7 or 21-8 or something like that. 22-8, whatever it was. We did well with the props today. Bears, big win. Bears are back in the playoff picture right now. Probably too little, too short, a little late, but Trubisky got it done. I tell you, the Titans to the over, guys. Yeah, Titans to the over. It's, you know, every damn week, man. Their games go over since Tannehill's been there. But let's check in with the playoff picture. You already know what the scores were today. Let's get you the playoff picture. And if the playoffs started today, and, you know, we're getting pretty close right now. We're getting pretty close the way things are playing out. So the Kansas City Chiefs are the one seed right now, 13-1. The Steelers get the Bengals tomorrow. They should cover that game. I hate these games with big spreads like this, though. The Dolphins. The Dolphins are the seventh seed right now. They would play the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Dolphins would play the Steelers at Pittsburgh. The Indianapolis Colts would be at Buffalo. That's no reward for the Buffalo Bills. And I tell you what, the Bills are damn dangerous. I think the Bills are the second best team in the AFC. But the Indianapolis Colts are a load to deal with, man. Like, that's not a reward. You know, like, it's funny. The Bills were actually better off as the four seed, believe it or not. But not really, because then, you know, they would have to play the Chiefs right away. So they avoid the Chiefs, at least, in this situation. So they would host the Indianapolis Colts and the Cleveland Browns, who beat the Titans, of course, racked up a bunch of first-half points on them. The Browns and Titans would be a rematch. So the Chiefs bye week, Dolphins at Steelers, Colts at Bills, Browns at Titans. And don't forget, obviously now, with the extra team making the playoffs and only one team gets the bye, not two teams get a bye now, and home field advantage. It's going to be crazy. Wild card weekend really will be wild. I mean, like, that's what we'll tip our cap to Goodell for this. It's going to be off the hook. There's going to be 6 playoff games, 3 wild card games a day. It's going to be nuts. The Green Bay Packers, an interesting football team, didn't play great the other night, but they got it done. Packers 11-3. They've got the one seed right now. And they're pretty much in control of this thing. You know, they're pretty much in control of this. You know, they control their own destiny, obviously. But with tiebreakers and everything, the Packers are looking good for the one seed. So the Packers would be the one seed and get the first round bye. The Arizona Cardinals, who are now 8-6 after 2 straight wins, they would be at New Orleans. A 7-2 matchup. A 6-3 matchup would have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Seattle. Tampa Bay at Seattle. And the Los Angeles Rams lost today. They fall to the 5 seed, and they would be at Washington, which would be a battle. Like, Like, Washington, you're seeing, man, Washington are no joke. Like, Washington are a nasty team to play. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. They give everyone else, like, all they can. Like, Seattle are a good team, man. Look, Seattle nearly lost this game today. Haskins struggled early, but he started to come together as the game was going on. I think if they just let Haskins play, they screwed with him too much. Like, that, I don't know what the deal is with this. Like, they don't like him, and now he's playing by default. I knew this would happen, and he would end up playing by default again somehow. So they don't like him, but the thing is, he's not that bad. And if they would just let him play and develop, he'd actually get better. But he plays, and he doesn't play poorly, and they take him out. We've seen this a couple of times. You know, they played Baltimore earlier in the year, and Baltimore were killing people, and he didn't play poorly. And then the next week, he didn't play. Like, you know what? He actually threw a couple of touchdowns. He made some plays. You know, he's not prepared enough. That's like the big thing, the knock that they behind the scenes, that he doesn't know the playbook enough, that he's not like he doesn't study hard enough. And they don't want to reward him because he doesn't study, right? One of those type of deals. So let's check in with the point spreads. We gave you all the college football point spreads for every bowl game. As far as the National Football League is concerned, Pittsburgh Steelers are 14.5-point favorites against the Bengals. Total is 40. The New Orleans Saints. So this is the Christmas game. Christmas night, or 4:30, actually. So Christmas evening. The Minnesota Vikings and the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints, -7. Minnesota at New Orleans. Playoff rematch. Remember, they played last year in the playoffs. Minnesota beat them. Total is 51.5. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who aren't great, but they've got so much talent. Like, you watch the Bucs, and they're not in sync. Like, even today, they came back. They weren't in sync. We cashed some nice tickets with the Bucs today, though. We hit Tom Brady's prop in-game. We took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus 9.5 in-game. We hit that. It was good. The Buccaneers lay 7.5 at Detroit. They lay 7.5 at Detroit. The total is 54. Arizona are 3.5-point favorites against San Francisco. Man, the odds makers in the book really respect the 49ers, don't they? Every week, the Niner lines are short. I mean, we're talking about a team that's lost to the Cowboys. Now, you know, the 3.5 at Arizona, total is 50.5. The Miami Dolphins, at the Las Vegas Raiders, Dolphins -2.5, total 47.5. What the hell's the deal with this schedule? We got a bunch of games on weird days and stuff like that. Like, so we got the games on Christmas, but there's not a full slate the day after Christmas. Is that the deal? I'm looking at the sports book, so I don't look at the dates. I'm sort of like, I'm like, the dates throw me off. Let me look at a scoreboard here. Let me look at a scoreboard to see the exact times of these games. So Christmas is the Friday. All right, Christmas is Friday. So as we mentioned, 4:30 Eastern, the Saints lay 7 to the Vikings. And then Saturday is December 26th. All right, so Saturday we've got a triple header here. 1:00 in the afternoon, the Buccaneers at the Lions. And then the 49ers follow at the Cardinals. And then the nightcap. I knew the Dolphins and the Raiders were playing at night at some time. So then they play. So we have three games, one game Friday, three games Saturday, unorthodox week in the National Football League. Dolphins at Raiders on Saturday night, the 26th, the day after Christmas. And then we get back on track with the slate on Sunday. My Buffalo Bills, division winners, take on the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football. And Sunday night, we got a real good one. Titans and Packers. Give me the over. Ian Cameron steps up and in. Bano, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So many sports, so many memories, so many players, so many teams, so many great matchups, so many possibilities.
Now, are you really going to pass all that up?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. I am Gable Morency. Let's kick the pigskin around a little bit more. Let's bring in Ian Cameron. Babano stepping up in it. Always a pleasure, Babano. How you doing tonight?
Great to be with you, Morency, as always.
Thanks, Babano. So first things first, before we start looking forward, I'll ask you, how did you do NFL Week 15? It was a strange card, I thought, all week. It was a strange day in the National Football League. How did you end up doing?
Well, I wasn't in the best mood last Sunday with you. I'm in a much better mood today. It was a good day overall. Really slanted my card toward totals today. A lot of those came through. The Jaguars and the Ravens over the total came through. The Bears and the Vikings came through. My biggest play was the Eagles-Cardinals over, which 46 points in the first half. So that one got there with a lot of ease as well. I had Texans plus the points. So it was a good day overall. Very interesting day, obviously. The Atlanta Falcons look like they're going to put a huge dent in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playoff hopes. And sure enough, that was the epitome of the Atlanta Falcons season, Gabe, wasn't it? Another blown lead, another collapse in the second half. And that's basically been the epitome of their season right there in that loss to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you know, Raheem Morris has done a nice job with the Falcons. And you wonder what they're going to do with their head coaching position moving forward. But you know, it's just one of these deals, isn't it, Babano? Like, you look at the Houston Texans, they still find ways to lose football games. And I know they've got injuries, but they still find ways to lose football games, even without Bill O'Brien. And similar situation with the Falcons. People, oh, Dan Quinn's got to go. Well, Raheem Morris is there now, and they're still blowing leads. You know, maybe it's the players, not the coaches, Babano.
And it's been recurring, not just this season. It's been really since the Super Bowl a few years ago against New England. That's really what started this recurring theme for the Atlanta Falcons of just, you know, just not having that confidence to make plays on either side of the football, trying to close out a game with a lead. And sure enough, it hurt them again today. It was a vital win for Tampa Bay. The Arizona Cardinals got a massive win for their playoff hopes, especially with Chicago beating Minnesota today. There was a scenario where if Arizona lost to the Eagles, the Bears would have overtaken Arizona for that last wild card spot in the NFC. So Arizona stays on that seventh spot, but the Bears certainly have some life again, having found their offense. It's amazing that Mitch Trubisky and the Bears' offense has come to life the last few weeks, and now their defense is the problem. Such is life in the NFL, where teams can change their spots and just things change quickly.
The Chicago Bears are still lingering, as you stated. If Arizona would have lost, suddenly the Bears would have been in. And the Bears get Jacksonville next week. And unlike the New York Jets, who just basically, you know, blew Trevor Lawrence, the Jacksonville Jaguars are doing their best to lose football games, right? Thing is, we talk about this all the time, Babano. Players don't try to lose, right? Players aren't tanking. Because players aren't going to tank so the team could get a better draft pick to replace them, right?
Yeah, they may not even be on the team next year, 100%.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, like, so Sam Darnold's like, I don't want to lose. Like, what, so they can just, you know, I can get traded, I'm going to get traded, you know? So he doesn't want to lose, and other players are playing for themselves. right? The draft pick of the team isn't their concern. They're not even going to be there in a couple of years. So, you know, their concern is about playing well so they get a contract somewhere else so they get to stay on the team that they're on. So the way to tank, because the players will never tank. And you saw it last year with the Dolphins. Remember, the Dolphins tried to tank, and it didn't work out. The players were good. And they realized, all right, we can't tank. It's not working out. What you need to do is you need to sabotage the team all the time if you're the GM, right? You need to say, well, listen, we want to start this guy at QB. We want to – and the Jags keep changing their lineup every week, basically, like trying to lose. They're like, all right, this guy's almost looking too good at quarterback. Let's sit him down right now, and let's get Minshew back in here, right? Like, they're deliberately doing this. The Jets, on the other hand, for the love of God, if you're the Jets, like, you can't blow Trevor Lawrence, bro. And they're on the verge of blowing Trevor Lawrence here.
Yeah, here they are now. Of course, Jacksonville now with the inside track for the number one overall seed.
Yeah, if they both lose out, Hubba Bano, Jacksonville gets the pick.
Yeah. And I think there's a greater separation between Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields now compared to prior to yesterday. We're seeing Justin Fields really make some mistakes, some throws that he shouldn't have made in the Big Ten championship game against Northwestern early in that game. Now, granted, he's got all the talent in the world, the arm ability, the dual threat capability, the running style that a lot of quarterbacks now have in the NFL. But, you know, the more you see Justin Fields, he's had more and more, especially when he played Indiana, he played Northwestern. You're seeing him make more bad throws, make more bad decisions in the pocket. And you worry that you're maybe not going to get that quite as much from Trevor Lawrence. So I think there might be a little bit of a separation here. Look, for the Rams, let's not kid ourselves about what happened with the Jets today. It's not necessarily they played great. The Rams were fast asleep in the first half. I mean, their defense was just leaving receivers wide open. There was no pass rush. It's almost like they stepped onto the field and assumed a victory. And sometimes you don't get away with doing that in the National Football League. However, looking ahead, Gabe, to next week, and I always like to do that, the Rams are playing Seattle. They're off this, you know, really bad, ugly-looking loss to the previously winless New York Jets. You watch next week against Seattle. Sean McVay and that Rams team will be ready to go against Seattle, and I think they'll be in a good bounce-back bet-on spot. They haven't lost two games in a row yet this season. They'll be a much better football team next week.
You know, the biggest surprise, and we've debated Jared Goff a lot, and I've had Jared Goff's back in the past yet. What it came down to, as you stated, was the Jets just controlled the line of scrimmage. And the Jets just kept getting first downs, Babano. And, like, they had the ball all night. Like, the Jets just had the ball all day. And as you stated, the Rams clearly did not take the Jets seriously. You could tell early that they just, they looked surprised. They weren't ready to play. You know, there was the longer layoff. Of course, they played against the Patriots on the Thursday nighter. Yet still, no excuses. That's a horrible loss. But as you stated as well, it's kind of a wake-up call. It's not the end of the world for them. It's a wake-up call. Yet it really is disastrous if you're the New York Jets. Like, hardcore Jet fans, this is the last thing they wanted. It's the last thing that they wanted. They're just going to hate Adam Gase, like, on the way out. You know, the Jets, two guys, have scored on 8 straight opening possessions. Pretty crazy, huh, Babano? 8 straight games the Jets have scored on their first possession.
they've been an over the total, like, Jets, like, over their point total in the first quarter this season. I know some people have been betting that, and it's
really,
and they keep betting it because it's been cashing almost every week.
They almost have to give credit to Gase for that because that's scripted, right? So the scripted drive has worked every time, essentially. Not 8 touchdowns, but they've scored 8 straight games, and they did today. They marched right down the field. And they punch it in the end zone. Another thing with Bannon, there's always these sort of, you know, trends and facts that, you know, at the end of the year, we're like, oh, God, we should have just bet that every game, all the time. But it's pretty crazy, man, with Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans, how they're an over machine.
Yep. And thankfully, I've picked up on it. I think every week on these NFL previews, I'm talking about Tennessee over, Tennessee over, Tennessee over. I don't think there's one Titans game I break down anymore on a show where I'm talking about, oh, you should bet, consider at least Tennessee over the total. But I believe the run now is 19-4 to the over since
more than that. Yeah. It's like we're up to about 25-5 now. 25-5,
from Mariota. Yeah, and it goes to show he's given them the passing game. He's able to make plays. They have Derrick Henry. They'll always rely on Henry. They'll always rely on the run to set up the pass for Tannehill. But Mariota was not filling his end of the bargain with the pass. The passing game was not clicking for him in Tennessee. Maybe it will in Las Vegas, because I'll give him credit. He looked pretty good against the Chargers the other night, but it wasn't working for him in Tennessee. For Tannehill, it is, and they've got a lot of weapons, Gabe. They really do. A.J. Brown, Corey Davis. I'm impressed with that receiving core. That's a really good offense. If they can get some semblance of defense, and that's where my worry is still with them. The Lions went up and down the field against them today. Yeah, I'm still worried about that defense, but offensively, they're as good as any team.
They're 5-1 to the over in their last six games now, the Titans. But as you stated, the Titans don't pressure the quarterback, Babano, right? They get no pressure at all. So not just no sacks. They don't get hurries, knockdowns, etc. So quarterbacks have a lot of time back there. It is difficult for their secondary to cover people for that long, right? Like, you know, people look at, you look at Tennessee and you wonder about their secondary, but they really are put in a bad spot. It's sort of similar to Seattle, right? And, you know, Washington couldn't expose it really, but Seattle don't get to the quarterback, and then teams are able to throw on them. But, you know, you look at the Tennessee Titans, and they're a tough team to deal with, Babano, because they got Derrick Henry. They can play smash mouth on you once they get up on you, and they do score. As you stated, they've got good skill position players. Their play calling is good. They're very efficient offensively, the Titans. They're an efficient team.
Oh, they get in the red zone. They rarely settle for field goals. They're very good at finishing drives when they get inside the 20. They've been good at that all year. And when you're balanced and you can run the football and you can throw off the run, that's why you can finish drives with touchdowns and not have to settle. You're not one-dimensional, and that goes a long way. I got to give, by the way, speaking of that Lions-Titans game, I got to give Matt Stafford credit. Look, he had the rib injury last week in the game against Green Bay. He suffered it last week. He's been really hurting all week. He insisted on playing. He felt he was good enough to go. He let Bevel know he was good enough to go. And he's battling out there for a team that's, again, having a tough season, not going to be in the playoffs, fired their head coach. Here's Stafford week in and week out, taking a pounding, and still, even without Golladay again today at receiver, still finding ways to move the football for the Lions and giving it 100% every week. So tip of the cap to Stafford. He's a battler, and I'm impressed with what the guts I've seen out of him in recent weeks.
That's a very good point. You know, you say what you will. You know, you look at Matt Stafford, you look at his record and his career, but he's been pretty reliable. He shows up every Sunday. He plays through pain as well. You know, when there's really no need to even. Like, he's, you know, he definitely is a gamer. They've got heart. And, you know, Bevel's not a bad coach, but he's not going to be the coach. They've got to get the right guy in there. But I'm telling you, there's been a lot of talk about Stafford, and we're going to take a quick break here, but there's been a lot of talk about Stafford not being in Detroit next year. And San Francisco is a team that they're talking about in connection to Matt Stafford. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Working hard 24 hours a day to give you your USRDA of the winning edge. Everything a growing boy needs.
Sit up straight.
Get it right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. I am Gable Morenci. We're throwing it down with Ian Cameron. Bob Bano. We're talking football. We'll get into the college grid. But we do have another NFL game left this week. Kind of anticlimactic, isn't it, Babano? It's too bad that this late in the season we have to watch a Cincinnati Bengal Pittsburgh Steeler game. And truth be told, I get it. I mean, yeah, Joe Burrow was supposed to be playing, yet did they really think the Cincinnati Bengals were going to be good at this time of the year, Babano? Even though Joe Burrow was healthy, they'd still be not a good football team right now. Yeah, it drives me crazy. I mean, I love watching these exciting primetime games and teams, you know, good teams, and now we got to deal with this. But, hey, it is what it is. We've got a bunch of bowl games, too. But what's your take on the Monday nighter?
My take is, and I don't do this very often, I'm gonna have a bet on Pittsburgh here laying the points. I think it's a get-well spot. I think it's a matchup that works extremely well for them. As soon as I saw that Ryan Finley was the quarterback in this game, I said, sign me up on Pittsburgh. Because you've got a quarterback that is just not shown at any point that he's ready to be an NFL starting quarterback behind a pathetic offensive line that's going up against still one of the best defensive fronts in the NFL. I know the Steelers have taken a hit at linebacker. They've had cluster injuries at that spot. But their defensive front with Cameron Hayward and company is still intact. And they are going to probably maul the Cincinnati offensive line, Gabe, every bit the way they did in the first meeting against Cincinnati. If you remember in Pittsburgh earlier this year, 36-10, Burrow was just under constant pressure in that game. And he's a mobile quarterback. And he still didn't get any sort of a moment or time in the pocket to throw the football. It's going to be trouble for Ryan Finley. I think from a props, I think it gets ugly. It gets away from the Bengals a little bit. I don't trust their offense to do much of anything in this game. I know the Steelers' offense has been certainly regressed the last few weeks against Washington and Buffalo. The Cincinnati's defense is a huge step down in class from those two teams. I think Big Ben can get the passing game reignited again. Maybe for the first time in weeks, if not the entire season, the Steelers can maybe run the football with a little bit of success. If they're going to do it against anybody, it'll be against the Bengals. I didn't mind laying the points here. I think it's going to get ugly. I think from a props standpoint, Morenci, I think you can look at a defensive or special teams touchdown in this game. You could easily see some fumble, sack fumble from Finley or a pick six happen in this game. That makes sense to me. I think rushing props for Bengal running backs to keep the ball out of Finley's hands makes some sense as well in this game. So those are things I'm targets. Total sacks. Certainly this game stands out as a game where the total sacks prop could certainly hit in terms of the over. So that's what I'm looking at for props as well.
You look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and as Babano mentioned, this is a get well. This is like a holiday greetings card. You know, hope you feel better, get well, right? You get the Bengals here. And, you know, you look at Pittsburgh, they only scored 15 points against the Buffalo Bills, 17 against Washington, 19 against Baltimore. So they've got to get their offense on track. And defensively, they should shut the Bengals down as well. Finley is terrible. And historically, they have beaten them down. Look, they played earlier this year, and Cincinnati had Joe Burrow, Babano, and it was a 36-10 final score.
Yeah, that was the game I was referencing. 36-10, a 26-point victory for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Really non-competitive. They ran away and hid from the Bengals in that game, and that was with Joe Burrow. And now, so that's why when you think of that game, you think of the Bengals losing ugly to the Dallas Cowboys last week at home. Now, granted, Dallas did get a victory today again, but still, just a really bad performance. I've seen really no evidence of them getting any solid quarterback play, and Brandon Allen wasn't really that great either. I think Finley's actually the worst of the two. So I think it does set up for the Steelers to win this game. 17, 21 points. I think they can get that kind of margin.
Ian Cameron, Babano throwing it down with us. All right, Babano, so college football playoffs have been announced, and the point spreads have been posted. FanDuel, Alabama, -19.5 against Notre Dame. Total is 65.5. And Clemson, -7.5 against Ohio State. Total, 65.5 as well. So both games have the identical total of 65.5, although the point spreads are vastly different. Speaking of anticlimactic, listen, I thought Notre Dame could make a game of it this week against Clemson, and I was wrong. And I get why Notre Dame are in the Final Four here, Babano. So I'm not, you know, going to stand on rooftops and scream like this is an outrage that Notre Dame made it. Because if you look at the body of work, I get it. But at the same point in time, it's hard to convince ourselves they're going to be in this football game, isn't it? I mean, there were some 17.5s out there earlier, and it's been bumped up to 19.5 right now. Really hard to talk ourselves into Notre Dame having a chance here.
It is difficult. And for the people that keep saying put a Cincinnati, put a Texas A&M, put some other team instead of Notre Dame in the fourth spot, the argument is we just saw Notre Dame get their teeth kicked in by Clemson. Not saying Cincinnati or another team wouldn't get beaten and destroyed by Clemson or an Alabama, but can we at least see the game on the field? Can we see give it a shot? You know, give them a chance at least? Because it's not like Notre Dame stepped up very well against Clemson, but I'm not at all shocked that the committee ended up going with what they did with these two matchups and these top four teams. And I'm looking at the favorites, unfortunately. I'm going to be very boring here and say I could probably only look at the favorites. I'm not liking what I saw out of Ohio State. Now, granted, Northwestern's a tough team, but you're supposed to have advantages there, and you just made a ton of mistakes, and you were never really able to put that game away fully. Against a Northwestern team that's not going to have the kind of speed on either side of the football that Clemson is going to bring in that particular matchup there. And something that also concerns me, Gabe, is this Dabo Swinney track record in postseason play is very real, and it's tough to bet against.
To prepare.
Dabo Swinney is now, after the Notre Dame win, his Clemson team is now 15-3 straight up and against the spread. That's 15-3 straight up and against the spread in ACC title games, playoff games, and bowl games combined since he's been there. That's tough to go against that track record with a coach that has consistently gotten that performance in the big spots out of his Clemson teams. And I think they're better than Ohio State. So I'll tell you right now, I'm leaning Tigers.
And I'll tell you one thing, too. Clemson, you know, the kid quarterback played well. The freshman played well at South Bend when Clemson played Notre Dame and they lost in overtime. But people don't realize Clemson were without a couple of defensive starters, too, that night. Like, they were pretty
four
beat up.
Exactly. Four starters.
That's a lot of them. Yeah, that's a lot. Four guys. And the game still went to overtime, right? You know, and then, like, it wasn't like Clemson got blown out. It went to overtime. And, in fact, Clemson had a late lead. That wasn't the kid's fault. Remember, Clemson took like a 7-point lead with a couple of minutes left, and Book actually marched down the field. But Clemson have definitely dialed it up a notch. Interesting dynamic with these games too, Babano. Normally there's a longer layoff, right, in between the conference championship games and the playoffs, right? And teams have more time to prepare, get healthier. It's a pretty quick turnaround. We're talking about 2 weeks here, right? Like, so they don't have a ton of time to get ready. It just seems like, you know, I tried to talk myself, oh, Notre Dame this and that, but every time, guys, they're in one of these games, they end up just getting run off the field. So it's hard to get excited about this. Yet you look, listen, Florida gave Alabama all they can handle, but I don't know if Notre Dame have the athleticism that Florida do. So it's just a different matchup. So we'll have time to break down those games. Ian Cameron kick it with us on Sports Rage late night. I am Gabriel Morenci. But bowl season set to kick off here at Babano with the Myrtle Beach Bowl, which I believe this is the inaugural Myrtle Beach Bowl. Interesting matchup, strange matchup, with App State taking on North Texas. What's your opinion on this game, Babano? And I can tell you that bowl games don't normally have this big of spreads. We have to go back to 2017. It's the biggest point spread in a bowl game since 2017 in the Boca Raton Bowl when Akron were getting a boatload of points against FAU. So now, I mean, we're talking about a clean three touchdowns here now. 21.5 points. App State are favored. And Babano, so going back to 1990, there's been 19 bowl games in which the point spread has been 16 or more points. The underdogs are 14-5 against the spread.
This is an interesting one, really is. For App State, it's about mentality. Really it is, because this is the first time in years they haven't won the Sun Belt, nor were in the Sun Belt championship game. Yeah. So now, how excited are you for the Myrtle Beach Bowl here in Conway, South Carolina? That remains the question. Matchup-wise, it is good for App State, because they're very good in terms of being a balanced offense. They're a very good run team, 244 yards per game on the ground, 5.3 yards per carry. And North Texas is a hideous run defense. They're allowing 5.5 yards per carry. That's atrocious. And North Texas's defense is terrible as it is. They gave up 43 points to UTEP in their final regular season game. UTEP's offense has been dismal. It's been dormant, stagnant all year. And they got to 43 against this North Texas team in the last regular season game. So I got to believe App State's going to have offensive success. Are they going to show it on defense? That's the question mark here. North Texas' defense is, I'd like to take these points with North Texas because I don't know how fired up App State's going to be. I've not read anything, Gabe, that tells me they're excited, App State. But their defense is just so atrocious. And Luttrell is 0-3 in bowl games. He's been one of those coaches that hasn't done well here for North Texas that I'm reluctant to take North Texas. I will take a piece of the over, though. I think App State can do what they want offensively. And North Texas, Austin Ani at the quarterback spot, he's played pretty good since he's taken over as the quarterback. They got 45 points. They scored a lot in Louisiana Tech as well. I'm hoping they can get on the scoreboard a bit. So the over is something I might get involved with here in this game.
Yeah, the thing is, guys, this is not even like a good North Texas team. They're 4-5, right? Like these bowls, like they're taking anybody. Like they don't have enough teams almost to play in these bowl games. So North Texas is in at 4-5. It's a weird matchup. Not like the schools, but just the records. It doesn't fit. You know, App State 8-3. One thing, guys, though, App State have been money burners. They're 2-8 against the spread in their last 10 games. But North Texas are money burners, too. a lot of points.
Now it's better. Yeah, they're 3-6. So yeah.
Yeah. No. Exactly. A lot of points to be getting. All right, Papano, we've got 2 minutes, man. Time just flew by here tonight with you. We've got 2 minutes. So what do you make of the Potato Bowl, Tulane and Nevada, with Tulane being field goal favorites? And then we got a good one. I'd say the first really cool bowl game, Tuesday night with Central Florida and BYU. We got 2 minutes. So, quick, what are your takes on those games?
Nevada's interesting. Nevada, I've got signs and just things I saw after they lost to San Jose State, which obviously cost them a chance to play for the Mountain West title. I saw players hanging their heads going off the field. And I've just made a mental note of that because that's what's making me reluctant to back them here against Tulane. I don't know. It's not like famous Idaho Potato Bowl is exciting for Nevada. They play Boise every year in the Mountain West, and every other year they got to go to Boise to play there for a road game. So I don't know how excited they are. But Tulane might be the side worth looking at. I don't want to say Nevada is going to be a no-show because they've had a good season. Maybe they want to end it with a bowl win, but the way they walked off the field against San Jose State, they're just hanging their heads. Look, made me think they may not be ready or want to play this bowl game. So, and Tulane's really good. If they're not ready to play, Tulane's a pretty good football team, and that freshman quarterback's gotten better. So I'll lean a little to Tulane there. As far as UCF BYU, I think Central Florida could win that game.
40 seconds, Babato.
The UCF plus the points. I mean, BYU, you know, not quite the same since the loss to Coastal. I think Central plus the points and over the total. I'd go with that in that bowl game.
Yeah, they've got the team speed. There's going to be some points in that BYU game. That's going to be a track meet. That game's going to be a track meet. It's going to be a fun game. The total is 71.5 right now, guys, but don't be scared by the number. BYU will go up and down the field on Central Florida, but Central Florida, they have the athletes to play with BYU. It's going to be a fun game. We'll speak to Ian Cameron on Wednesday night with the raging redhead, Cam Stewart. Babano, thanks, Babano.
Thanks, Gabe.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's not your wife. It's not your kids. It's not your neighbor. And it sure isn't your boss. Only we understand you. We are your friends.
You're listening to The Winning Edge.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Thanks, Ian Cameron, for joining us. We'll have a complete breakdown of Monday Night Football on Game Time Decisions. 6 o'clock Eastern on many of these same radio stations. And shout out to all of our radio affiliates, including the mightier 1090 SoCal in the house. Disappointed that USC couldn't get it done the other night. We went back to the well one too many times. That's like I said, you don't rob, you know, if you're going to rob a bank and you get away with it, you don't go back to the same bank, you know, five times like we did with the Trojans. We went back one too many times. Losing our wide receiver didn't help. You know, we had a good day though, today in the National Football League. And now, you know, we got one more game tomorrow. We'll break it down, entirely tomorrow with Cam and company on Game Time Decisions, 6 o'clock Eastern. The Steelers lay 14.5. The total is only 40. Wow. Low total. So it's 14.5 and 40, right now, but bowl season starts Monday afternoon. And you know, to say this is a good game or a big game would be lying. App State are 21.5-point favorites, and in fact, it's one of the biggest bowl spreads in, like, ever type of thing. Bowl games are supposed to be competitive, right? They're supposed to be evenly matched. App State is a much better team than North Texas. And, like, this isn't a good North Texas team either. Not like, well, it's North Texas, you don't really know about them, and they're good. They're not good. We've watched a lot of North Texas play this year, and this is not a good North Texas team. Their defense is terrible, and their offense isn't great, quite frankly. They're supposed to be good offensively. App State can name their score. It's a motivation factor. One thing that we will tell you, and listen, we're going to take the over in this game, all right? We'll take the over 65.5, but I've been betting on sports a long time, and the toughest thing to bet on in sports are college football bowl games. It's the most erratic thing in sports, man. That and NBA preseason. But fortunately, the NBA regular season is here. So, you know, don't go crazy on somebody's early college bowl games. You'll have your spots. There'll be some opportunities. But it's really tricky. Motivation is key. We'll take the over. North Texas App State. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.